This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern-day flamethrower, Place to Be Nation's Main Event, episode 67. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. We are barely a week and a half, I guess, or 2 weeks into the calendar year 2017, and we're already firing up news, Rumble participants, all sorts of crazy stuff. And the Rumble's still 15 days, or let's see, what day is today as we're recording, the 11th? So the Rumble's still 18 days away. And usually this time of the year is when we start hearing about releases or free agent signings and surprise Rumble entrance, things like that. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Most of the Rumble card, I believe, is set. Well, not most of it, but a decent amount of it. We've got, what, four world championship. We got four title matches, and then, of course, the Rumble. But let me bring in my two guys tonight. One, a voice you hear often. In fact, this is my second straight pay-per-view, second straight podcast that I've been on with this guy. And then JR called him a unicorn because it's like seeing a unicorn on, you know, off in the distance, because sometimes maybe you see it and then maybe you don't. But then when it comes, it's a huge surprise, and it's good to have him on tonight. But let me bring in the veteran, one quarter of the Core Four. I was actually on his show last week, Rankin Defile, and we had a fun show, and that is Mr. Jordan Duncan.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
Oh, I thought you were going to go, oh,
we're still looking for
her. I'm going to go play in traffic.
No, that's a soundbite we need to bring back. We should bring back the hacksaw looking for him.
No, it does, but we're all still looking for him. JD, what's going on?
Oh, not much. It's January in Michigan, and there's a thunderstorm, so that's what the weather is doing right now. One of the weirdest weeks of weather I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was, and my our other guest can vouch for me on this, because he only lives like 20 minutes away from me. But, yeah, yesterday it was, like, 20, and today it was, like, 54. And I think tomorrow's supposed to be close to 60 here in Connecticut. So, I went to bed last night, and, you know, there was still a decent sheath of snow on my yard. I got up this morning, and it was all gone.
Same here.
Most of it. So,
lots of lakes, though.
Lots of lakes, yes. Yeah, a lot of puddling. JD, always good to have you on. Good to have you back. And my other co-host is the guy who, he was really a myth. He was kind of like the speechless Goldberg, because I mentioned him for like the first 270 episodes of the Place to Be podcast, and then we just never got to cross paths. But this guy, JD, is pre-Core 4. This guy was my co-host on the original Main Event way back in the day. And yes, I was able to corner him, and he's on the program. He has the Brock Lesnar per diem deal. And he's way overdue. He's got plenty of, he has had plenty of dates on his contract still yet to be used. Mr. John, what's that?
Is he wearing a Jimmy John's shirt?
He's wearing it, yes. sponsored by the nice toasted chicken sandwich. Mr. Johnny Reckless is here. What's up, John?
What's up, guys? It's great to be back.
Oh, this is incredible. You are the advocate. Ladies and gentlemen, his name, and this he is definitely a Paul Heyman guy as well. That's why I like using Brock Lesnar as an example. Guys, Johnny, I have to look back at the last time you were actually on.
It's probably over a year.
Yeah, it's probably been over a year. It's probably last year, right before Mania, I think you came on. Either right before Mania or right after Mania. But it is. Oh, I see you every month. But it's nice to back to have you on here on the Flamethrower. All right, guys. So we're 11 days into 2017. So we've had, what, 2 weeks of Raws, 2 weeks of SmackDowns. We officially have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 are officially in the Royal Rumble. 8 Raw, 4 SmackDown, and 1 Other. Although, technically, I guess he's not technically on SmackDown anymore. Everyone says, oh, but he's always a SmackDown guy. But he, I don't even think he was drafted, though. If you want to go old school brand extension, then yes, he's definitely a true blue and blue SmackDown guy. But he technically is unassigned, if you will. So there's 13 guys, 9. So let's see. Let me make sure I do that right. 5, 10, yeah, 13. So 8, 4, and 1. So 8 Raw, 4 SmackDown, and 1 Other. Set for January 29th at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. We also have 4 title matches. Both big belts on the line. The red belt and I think what will eventually be the blue belt. The women's red belt. And then, of course, the purple belt is on the line. The Cruiserweight title. That was announced last night on 205 Live. Johnny, we'll break the seal on you quickly. What have you thought of the build so far over the last few weeks, particularly since we've turned to the new year? You and I talk about both shows quite a bit when we go to our buddy Mike's for our monthly soiree, or our, actually now it's bi-weekly soirees. Have you enjoyed the build? What do you think of the build overall so far?
Well, on the SmackDown side of things, I have. But as usual, Raw kind of just leaves me shaking my head a lot of times with some of their decisions. But the build for the SmackDown side of things has been pretty good. And some of the Raw stuff has been good, too. I mean, I think what they're doing with the women is always good lately. And but the title picture just seems kind of a mess to me. As usual.
Right. JD, you've been very critical of Raw in our chats and here on the show. I just said before actually John called, or before I called him to set up, I had said that honestly these first two Raws of the calendar year this year hasn't been that bad. Maybe they've learned some mistakes that were made and are trying to adjust it. I don't know. What do you think?
I didn't watch this last week's Raw, but I have been, even when I don't watch, I still keep up in terms of reading the results. So I'm aware of the storylines and things like that. And you know, it does seem like it's been getting more positive response, and kind of what we were talking about before we went on the air tonight. It seems like January is kind of when they hit their groove. I think, you know, everyone says WrestleMania season. I think January and February specifically is kind of when they hit their stride. So if there is going to be a time where the show is kind of firing on all cylinders, you would hope it'd be now. In terms of the build for the show, I think going into it, what I enjoy the most about it, and I think I've said this before on the show, I kind of like the Royal Rumble almost more than WrestleMania in a way. Like, I get excited for it more. Because WrestleMania for me is very contingent on what the card's going to be, whereas the Royal Rumble, just the Royal Rumble is going to be there, and that's always good enough for me, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
But I think what's interesting the most this year, and I've seen other people talk about it too, is it's not like, oh, X is going to win this year's Royal Rumble. You know, I think that's maybe the best thing they've done is that there is probably, I mean, you said there's 13 people announced so far, and I think there's probably 5, maybe even 6 guys who you could make a good case for a really good story with them winning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can have multiple options where, one, it keeps us guessing, and two, if they've crafted a way where there are several different paths they can go and all of them make sense, you have to say that that's a pretty good job. If they've got multiple avenues to keep the fans guessing and all of the avenues make sense, then I have to be at least content with that. So,
do you agree, John? Let's take out of the equation the quality or whether it's smart to choose person A or person B. We'll get to that part. We'll delve into that in a minute. But what he's saying about the fact that they're, half of the list so far are legitimate possibilities, good or bad. That's not bad, right? I mean, 13 guys, 6 could win, whether it's a good pick or a bad pick. Right? Not a bad percentage this early on.
No, I have to completely agree on that. I mean, looking at the guys who are in there now, you could see almost like 4 different scenarios playing out, and all would be worthy roads to WrestleMania. You know what I mean? On both sides, you know, being SmackDown and Raw. So they're definitely doing a good job at creating intrigue for the Rumble.
Sounds like the clock just hit 0 and someone's coming out. So, God.
That's my 11-year-old son's music. All right.
Oh my God, it's Doink. But no, he's not in the Rumble, thank God. Here are the guys that were announced. The very first... What?
He might be. We never know. Oh, there's God. Always surprises at the Royal Rumble.
Well, no, I think Doink... Well, yeah, but I thought the gimmick officially retired when Matt Bourne died. No one wants Ray Liachelli or whatever the hell his name is.
It's in San Antonio, so I think we can confidently say Jose Lothario will be in the Royal Rumble. that be?
Can we find Sid so he can cave his head in with a camera again?
Or all three of those luchadors from the 97 Rumble are back.
The ones that I politically correctly called orange pickers? Yeah, sure, why not? in my old vaults that JR and I used to do. The old ones, the originals. Here are the guys, all right, and we'll hear the dates. Now, the night after the Survivor Series, the guy who pulled off what many consider the biggest upset ever, Goldberg, is in. The following week, the guy who was the recipient of that upset, Brock Lesnar, Johnny's guy, announced. Then the first Raw of the calendar year, January 2nd, 5 guys announced, although 3 of them are one group, all 3 of the New Day, Big E, Kofi, and X-Man. Chris Jericho and Braun Strowman is in. The next night, January 3rd on SmackDown, many consider SmackDown's Braun Strowman, and that is Baron Corbin, he announced. Then Monday night, this past Monday night, Seth Rollins, and then, of course, the one guy who was, quote, unassigned, and this was the big shocker, that is The Undertaker, making his first Rumble appearance since 2009 was that in Detroit? Or was that St. Louis? Right, it wasn't Detroit, JD, you would have gone. Was it St. Louis? I think it was St. Louis. Yeah, because Orton won, so they made a big deal about that. That's right. It was St. Louis.
I think the 7 Rumble was Detroit. There was one in here, though.
No, 07 was in San Antonio, because remember they do it every 10 years. That's like the weird thing. No.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, 08 was at the Garden, and I'm pretty sure 09 was in. Yeah, because you would have gone in. I'm sure you would have gone in 09.
I've never been to the Rumble, but I know it's been in Detroit.
Yeah. Anyway. 09 was the last one that Taker was in. Because I remember 2010, he had the belt. That was that weird match he had with Ray.
2009 was in Joe Louis Arena.
Oh,
I was not there. Yeah, I was not there.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't Detroit. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was the last Rumble he was in. Because 2010, he was still a full-timer, but he was the world champion. He beat Ray in that weird match. That kind of weird big man, little man match. Because the next pay-per-view at Elimination Chamber, he lost because Shawn... Your boy Johnny crawled through the apron and cost them the belt so they could have their rematch, which of course was 5 stars. And that was it. After 2010, he was a part timer, so he wasn't on again. And then last night on SmackDown, 3 more guys added: Dean Ambrose, The Miz, and I guess freshly minted heel Dolph Ziggler. Although on Talking Smack last night, he still kind of acted like a babyface, but whatever. So there's at least, so obviously there's what, 17 guys left. Most of them are going to be flunkies, most likely. And we have our 4 title matches. We'll get to those later. JD, who, if you had to go right now, well, there's one name that you know is going to be said at some point. It'll probably be announced next Monday. I think we can almost guarantee that Roman Reigns will be in this. I think even though he's in the title match, I have a feeling he'll be in it anyway. It all depends on, and this is the cool thing now about the brand extension, we don't know which belt they're looking at here, storyline-wise, which side is Rumble going. Now, February 12th, is the next pay-per-view. It's the elimination. There are actually two coming up. This is cool about the network now, because I was goofing saying that Johnny and I see each other every other week, but they're actually spreading it out. February 12th is the next pay-per-view after the Rumble. It's the Elimination Chamber, and it's the SmackDown show. Keep that in mind. And then March 5th is Fastlane, which will be Raw's pay-per-view, which that'll definitely be watching grass grow. I guarantee that show will be a man. That show will be dreadfully boring. And then, of course, Mania is April, whatever, 3rd, 2nd, whatever it is, 4th, something like that. So, Johnny, with SmackDown having the gimmick show after the Rumble, is it a foregone conclusion that a Raw guy wins the Rumble?
No. No, I don't think so. There's other ways you could get around it. Obviously, Raw is trying to pull ratings, so they could always do something on Raw to crown a number one contender.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think, JD?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. In fact, I think if I were forced to pick someone, I would pick a winner that would go after the SmackDown title, to be honest. Just kind of based off where I think everything is headed. But again, that's what I said is good about it, is you think you know where it's going, but you don't, you know, it's not like it's not obvious. Actually, I should say, it seems like the matches for Mania are shaping up to be kind of obvious, but you just don't know where the belt's going to be, you know?
Yeah. That is the strange thing, because the Chamber could be either a number one contenders chamber, or it could be a world title chamber, a WWE championship chamber. So that is true. Now, with Roman Reigns now U.S. titleless, as of course he lost on Monday night in the handicap match, Chris Jericho is your new U.S. champion, his first U.S. title ever. Is it a foregone conclusion, John, that both belts change hands? Let's talk about the four title matches. Of course, the two main belts for the Universal title, it is Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns in a rematch from Roadblock, except Chris Jericho kicking it last Battle of Atlanta style.
Shark cage.
Jericho will be in it.
Which is awesome, by the way.
It is awesome. And it also means it's only this... How many other people have been in shark? Well, remember Paul Ellering's been in two shark cages because he was
just a couple months ago.
Right, he was at the one at Takeover Toronto while his guys, the Fat Road Warriors, won. And then of course he was the one in the last Battle of Atlanta between Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich. So don't get me started on the Office of Pain. I'm not falling for that nonsense like I did the Ascension. Exactly. I'm not falling for that.
I'm with you.
Yeah, nah. The Revival, different story. I'm scared shitless. But we'll get to NXT in a little bit. And then of course the big match, AJ Styles defending the WWE championship. Still a black leathered belt, although many people say it's eventually gonna be blue. Taking on John Cena. Charlotte taking on Bayley for the women's title. A little surprised they're having that match right now, because many assume they'll have it at WrestleMania, but and then Rich Swann will be defending the Cruiserweight title against the heel roided elf Neville, which I think is perfect for. I mean, he is like my favorite guy next to what's his name, Gallagher. There, I forgot his first name.
The comedian Gallagher.
Yes, he'd be a great Cruiserweight match. Oh my God! Rich Swann hit with a watermelon.
He smashed it. He has a sledgehammer. He could be Triple H's right hand man. That'd be
awesome. So Rich Swann will defend against Neville. So you got four title matches. I'm sure there'll be more singles matches because you know the show is starting at 7, so they're making it the full blown. So there'll definitely be more stuff here. So I'll start with you, John, and then JD. Johnny, do you think, even with him in the title match, if he loses, do you see him showing up in the Rumble?
Well, I don't think he's going to lose. That's the thing. But going by that theory, yeah. They're going to continue this Roman Reigns push. But I have this strange idea that they're starting to veer it towards a heel turn. So one way or another, Reigns will either walk out with the title or he will be in the Rumble.
Okay. What do you think, JD, about Reigns' role at the moment and where you see him in 18 days?
See, I feel like him winning the title makes the most sense because Owens and Jericho is obviously a match that they're going to get to eventually. And that doesn't need to be for the belt necessarily. Then you look at all the other guys that seem to be paired up with matches. And Roman isn't really penciled in for anybody at WrestleMania yet. You know what I mean? So that's why I think maybe the title might be on him. Because if Roman doesn't have a built-in feud, if Roman doesn't have a story that's being told, like with Owens and Jericho, that's been going on since, I mean, they teamed up at SummerSlam. That's when they first got together. So this is, you know, 4 months. So by the time WrestleMania comes, that's like a 7-month storyline progression. So with Roman, I think it might be, well, we don't have the long feud to blow off, so let's put him in a title match instead, just to kind of give him a profile match. The question for me is, if he wins the title, then who does he face at WrestleMania? And that's the part I don't really have figured out, because you look at these other guys that could potentially win the Rumble, and they all seem to sort of be paired up against someone already, and Roman doesn't really fit with a lot of them, does he?
Not really. Not really. What do you think, Jeff? Finish your point.
That's the hesitation I have about Roman winning the belt, is if he wins the title, then who does he defend it against at WrestleMania? Because he doesn't have that set match yet, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay. What do you think of that theory, John?
It's kind of along the same lines. I'm thinking, in terms of an opponent, the only guy who comes to mind is Finn. But to do that, you would kind of need either a tweener or a heel Reigns. I mean, to most of the audience, he already is a heel, so...
Right.
Yeah. But I think that could be a huge moment for Finn, if they do it right.
Yeah, I didn't even think about him.
So you think he's definitely in the Rumble?
Roman?
If he's not in the Rumble, I think he's somehow going to be put into some type of title picture at Mania.
I wonder if he's ready.
They've been very quiet about it.
I had heard just the other day. Now, I don't remember where I heard it, so it might have just been, might be totally unreliable. But I thought I read somewhere that early March was his expect date. So that would get him in just in time. So who knows?
Yeah. It's been what? 5 months, I guess?
Yeah, well, night after SummerSlam.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, when they did the announcement about the UK tournament, which we're going to talk all about as well. I want to get your guys' predictions on that, because that's this weekend, of course, in Blackpool. By the way, did anybody watch the quickly? Well, you know, I'll get to it later. When we saw him at the announcement, and when they've been showing clips of him talking about the tournament, and he's over there, no sling. Remember, he had that, like, the
oh, know, yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah.
You know, the ledge sling there with the foam thingamajig and all that. Mm-hmm. We have not seen, he didn't have that on. That may be a good sign that he doesn't need that. And he still has 18 days. He still looks in good shape. He's got a big, what is everybody growing a big bushy beard? He's got a bushy beard. Even Triple H has a bushy beard right now. Everybody's all bearded up, yeah. Not like Braun Strowman bushy.
They all want to be Braun, man.
They want to be the Braun! They want to be Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, Donald Gibb.
Maybe they're all going to join the Wyatt family.
Oh, on a side note, what's the deal with your wife not wanting to watch Kickboxer? Come on, man. You're the man of the house. Come on.
I don't know, but I've been training in case I have to
challenge her. Chong Li. Oh, no, that's not Kickboxer. That's Bloodsport. Tong Po.
I dipped my hands in glass today. but I forgot to tape them up, so they're horribly bankrupt.
Oh, God. Early Van Damme is awesome. Both tremendous movies. And Braun Strowman's in the first one. So, yeah, there's still a lot of intrigue, and I think that's what's making this great. Again, regardless of whether it's good or bad, because that's pretty much the opinion of the specific fan, whether something's good or something's bad. Yeah, there's obviously percentages, but the general opinion that we've got 13 guys so far, and 5 guys probably right now would be legit favorites. Goldberg, Brock, Strowman, Rollins, and Taker.
I even think Jericho is possibly. If Owens retains, then I think Jericho's chances of winning goes up.
What do you think, John?
I'm going to go out on a limb and add Miz to that list.
Wow. Okay.
Are we channeling 2000? Let's talk about The Miz for a minute, since we're talking about guys in the Rumble. Is he as good now as he was in the summer of 2010?
Well, if you ask me, I think he's SmackDown's top heel right now. I mean, yes, AJ is the heel champion, but, you know, it's the reverse of Reigns where...
Yeah, nobody boos him.
Right.
Nobody accepts him as a heel. And I... yeah, I mean, I think Miz, this, you know, he cranked it up when you know, with the brand split, and I think he's doing the best work of his career.
What do you think, JD?
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, I've heard a lot of people, even on this podcast network, talk about how they are not Miz fans and never have been Miz fans, and he's won them over. I mean, he's winning people over in this year. I mean, really since. Again, almost a full year now, he's really had a really good, solid run. And it takes a while. You know, when you've got a career of craft, that takes a while to overcome. But it all started after WrestleMania when his wife kind of came into the equation. And since then, he hasn't really had any bad moments. I mean, there's maybe been some times where it's kind of missable, I guess. But he's not bad anymore. And he's definitely... A really effective heel in the old school type of heel thing. People boo him. People do not want to cheer the Miz.
Even with a hot wife, they don't want to cheer him. They want to boo her too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I do think that pick's a little far fetched, but maybe not. I could see him winning Money in the Bank. I do see that. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening later in the year. Or I could just see him getting a title shot and winning. Miz is at the point now, he doesn't need to win things.
Well, what I mean by that is I don't think he's going to win it, but I think you could build it enough where, you know, certain groups of fans may think he could win it.
Oh, I agree. Sure. Yeah, that sure. Makes sense. No, it makes perfect sense.
If we're going to go that way, then I'd throw Sami Zayn in as well, because I think the story that they're telling with Sami Zayn of how he, you know, he doesn't quit and everything is just a total babyface story they're telling, and, What better match to tell a story of a guy that won't quit even when he's been pummeled than the Royal Rumble? You know, again, I would pick Sammy to win, but I think you could tell that story with him in that match.
Yeah, and...
That would be a cool thing. Sammy wins and faces Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I would watch that match. That'd be sweet.
That would be very sweet.
That would be a really cool match. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think Sammy... because I think they're starting... I think he's actually being rebuilt. I think they kind of have started Sammy from scratch. However, I think if Sammy wins, there's only one match you do first. I can't see you not having a title match at Mania and not have Sammy and Owens. I think you have to.
Yeah,
they made a shirt for the two of them that says Forever, Forever Enemies.
Fight Forever, yeah.
Fight Forever. So, if Sammy somehow pulls off the stunner and wins the Rumble, I think Owens wins... And then Reigns goes and does something else. But I don't think that's going to happen. Not this time, anyway. Let's talk about Kevin Owens. JD, has his reign been a success or a failure? And is it his fault? And if it's a failure, is it his fault?
I mean, I'm hesitant to say either or because I feel like it's sort of in between. I don't want to say failure because, you know, he's not... It's not like the belt's diminished because he's had it. It's not like he's lost steam. It's not like people don't care about him anymore. But I guess I wouldn't say success in the sense that, to me, Kevin Owens still doesn't come off like the upper echelon guys of, you know, like, I still have trouble picturing Kevin Owens in a Mania match against a guy like an Undertaker who they'll bring in as a part-time. To me, that's who I think they consider their main eventers of every day, are the guys that can face the part-timers at WrestleMania. And I still don't really see Kevin Owens doing that. So I guess in that sense, I wouldn't say a success, in the sense that I don't think it's, like, cemented him, in my eyes at least. But I think in the company's eyes, maybe it has. I know I'm kind of waffling with this answer, saying a little bit of both, but no, I wouldn't call it a failure by any stretch. I guess maybe it didn't meet my expectations. You know, I was hoping for a lot more. And it's had some highs. You know, the Owens-Jericho story has been really entertaining. I think the biggest struggle with it is it seems every week for the past, gosh, the Survivor Series, it's Owens, Jericho, Reigns, and Rollins in some sort of combination every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of tapered off quite a bit.
What do you think of Owens Reign, Johnny?
I'm glad he had this run. Do I think it's a great run? No. I think my biggest issue, and I personally love the Owens-Jericho combination, I think they're great. But the biggest issue I have, and I think it's kind of affecting people's perception of his title run, is that there's too much comedy involved with it. And that normally always works on the IC level and, you know, even upper mid-card. But with the world title, they normally, you know, you don't want that much comedy going around. You could have some, but, you know, there's just certain moments where I'm like, I don't know if this really helps him looking like a dominant heel champion.
Right. If I think I asked this of when we did the season and the year in review show, I think I asked this too. If Finn had not gotten hurt, JD, and won the belt at SummerSlam and kept it, would he still have it right now? Would this reign have been as long as Owens was?
That's a hard question. I think he at least would have had it until the Survivor Series. I mean, I can't. I guess what I'm trying to think is who would have won it from him. And I don't think they would have had Reigns take it from him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a bad mistake. And I don't think Rollins would have been the guy to take it from him, because the Rollins-Triple H story has kind of always been a WrestleMania match waiting to happen. So, yeah, I mean, why not? Why wouldn't? I guess... Who would have beaten him? You know, I can't think of anybody.
No, I can't either. Would Rollins have stayed? Would Rollins have stayed a heel? Because you wouldn't have had to have the Triple H pedigree thing in that four way.
Yeah, I think that would have happened eventually. I think that I don't know that he would have stayed a heel or turned face that quickly, but I think it would happen eventually, because I think that's a feud they've always wanted to do.
Hmm. Incidentally, like I said, here in Studio B, we have the Goldberg Blu-ray playing, and they just did the match the night at the Georgia Dome. Not Hogan, not the one with Hogan, but earlier in the night, remember, he had to fight Scott Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a sign somebody's holding that says, Goldberg fears Milton. And I said to myself, everyone fears Nate Milton. But you know what? Virgil did come out. He was hit with a chair by Karl Malone, so it's like, you know, why doesn't the sign say Goldberg fears fuck money? You know what I mean? I don't know. Johnny, do you think Finn would still have it if he hadn't gotten hurt and were at this point, and Finn actually was champion and kept it? Would he have it at this point, do you think?
That's a really tough question, but I think it all depends on how Finn connected with the audience. You know, he was unproven on the main roster. I mean, mm-hmm. he got huge reactions for the brief time he was there.
Right.
But if he was over, yeah, I definitely see him holding it. If not, I could definitely, I mean, maybe they would have started a Finn KO thing and KO would have taken it from him.
Mm-hmm.
KO, I mean Kevin Owens, not Cassius Ohno.
We'll talk about him later too.
Yeah. One reason why, sorry,
no, go ahead,
one reason why I do think he may still have it is for the few weeks that he was on Raw, I mean, they pushed him pretty darn hard. I mean, he pinned Roman Reigns clean as a sheet, and then Seth Rollins too. You know,
mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I agree with that. Jack Gallagher, that's his name. Jack.
What a great. I don't think honestly, I mispronounce his name all the time, and it's actually Gallagher.
I think it is too. You're right. I think it is Gallagher. None of us are scoundrels. But I mean, he's awesome. I'm going to talk about on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about some of the other shows. I want to talk about 205 Live. I definitely want to talk about NXT because we have a big show the night before the Royal Rumble, Takeover San Antonio. And I like that it's at the old. They're not doing it at the AT&T Center, you know, in the nice building. They're doing it at the old shit box, the Freeman Coliseum, home of mm-hmm. This Tuesday in Texas and the 94 Rumble, 94 Survivor Series. So I'm kind of cool they're doing it in the old dumpster. I didn't even think the place is still open.
Oh, that's right. So, Chuck Norris was.
That's right.
I was going to say they should have Chuck Norris come out and kick like 40 guys.
And kick Jeff Jarrett in the face. we'll talk, you know, we'll actually talk about some legit TNA. You didn't think I'd say that, JD. But we'll talk about that. We got a lot to talk about in the next segment. I want to finish.
We will not.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'll probably forget.
I think it's called Impact Wrestling now. You can't call it TNA anymore.
Wow. Who really wants to? Who wants to call it either?
Shouldn't we just put their logo with the giant owl on the
yes. Can we just call it? Can we just call it Matt Hardy Wrestling? Can we just call it that?
Maybe the owl is because when they say TNA Impact Wrestling, who cares?
Oh God, that's atrocious.
I apologize to everyone listening for that joke.
God, that's brutal.
Honestly, I think they figured a little blue bird works so well for Twitter.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it work for us?
Oh, God. I'm just happy to see Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel back. I am really one of the probably, I can't believe I'm about to say, I am probably one of the most annoying wrestling fans in the world because two of my favorite guys are two people that everybody hates, Triple H and Jeff Jarrett. I think that's what makes me so charming. two guys that everybody else can't fucking stand, I actually like. I have no issues with Jeff Jarrett, none at all. All right. So if you had to pick a winner now, and I could ask you guys in 2 weeks on the next show, or I could ask whoever the guests are in 2 weeks, if you had to pick right now, John, who wins the Royal Rumble, who is it?
Out of the guys we already have in there?
Yeah.
Taker, I guess.
So, you think Cena's beating AJ?
No, but I don't think we've seen the full roster of the Rumble.
True.
But going by who's in there, because I don't see Seth winning it. You know, I'm really trying to rack my brain. You could possibly do the Jericho thing, but I think the biggest match right now is Taker. I don't think that's going to involve the title, but out of the 13 names that are there, I'm going to go with Taker.
Okay. What do you think, JD, right now?
I think Taker's a good pick, too. One thing I think could be interesting is if Reigns does win the title and Taker wins the Rumble, then it's like, does he fight John Cena? Does he fight Roman Reigns? That's a decent story they could tell. So I'll just pick a different name just for the heck of it. I'll say Goldberg, because I can see Goldberg winning the Rumble and just plowing through and setting up. But I don't know. I think Taker's probably the best pick out of those ones in there. What do you think, Scott?
Goldberg Cena?
Ooh.
Has anyone mentioned that combination in Orlando?
I don't think anybody's thought of anything but Goldberg and Brock, huh? I guess maybe Goldberg and Reigns.
Yeah. And we don't want a triple threat. Reigns, Goldberg, Brock would be atrocious.
No.
trying to balance that all that lumbering would not work. Although the last triple threat match that I watched with Taker, I watched live, and that was in 2015 in Philly, and it was one of the best matches that week. It wasn't the best match I saw that weekend, but it was definitely number two.
The Brock match.
Yeah, Brock, Brock, Seth, and Cena. Although the best match I watched that weekend, I told you about it, Johnny. I think you said you watched it, was the one I watched the night before at the ROH taping, Cedric, ACH, and Matt Sydal against AJ and the Bucks.
That match is absolutely phenomenal.
It's fucking ridiculous.
No pun intended.
Yeah. ridiculous, that match was. Utterly ridiculous how awesome that match was. And I love seeing Cedric in the company. He's like one of my. He's been one of my favorite guys. I'm so pumped. You know what's funny? And we'll talk about this on the other side of the break because I want to get more into the cruisers and into NXT. But I'm pumped about those two rosters more than I am the regular roster. I love almost everybody that's in NXT right now, and starting to actually get, I'm finally getting into watching 205 Live. I really love all the crew, well, most of the cruisers. Yeah, I'm kind of pumped. I'm kind of pumped. And there's a couple of names floating around in the indie world that could be coming in. A Ring of Honor guy who is no longer there, apparently. And another indie darling floating around that Mr. Reckless mentioned to me earlier in the day. Why don't we take a break here on Main Event? Great job so far, guys. We're chewing
fat. Scott, before we take a break, you got to make a pick. Who do you think's going to take the
Rumble? Shit.
We got you on the spot now.
Kofi. All right. Why don't we? If I had to pick right now, of the 13 right now, I think I'd have to go with Taker too. But I agree with John. I mean, we still got 17 slots to fill. And there's still guys out there that could win the Rumble that, although the weird thing is, as I mentioned, there are a lot of guys right now, that you would think would be Rumble favorites that are stuck in other matches. Reigns in the Universal title match really kind of, I gotta say, guys, adds intrigue. It really does. Yep. I mean, yeah, they could do whatever the fuck they want. They could stick him in the Rumble match just because they can. You'd like to think that logic slips. I mean, it is pro wrestling. I don't know how I'm trying to chew this out, but you'd like to think there's some kind of logic where, well, he wrestled once already, he doesn't have to be in it, but this isn't, you know. Look at 1992. Piper almost won the two belts in one night. So, you never know.
Mick Foley entered the Rumble 3 times.
He did.
Maybe he'll enter this year's and win.
Well, Johnny would love it, of course.
General Manager Mick Foley going for the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, of course, for that match.
He can't even bend over.
Yeah, of course. Of course, if he is, the Rumble would be an the network would cost an extra $20 this month. I'll tell you that joke off mic, JD. When we come back here on the Main Event, Johnny Reckless, Jordan Duncan, we'll delve into the cruisers. We'll talk a little 205 Live. We'll talk about NXT. Of course, they have a big show the night before TakeOver San Antonio. And some other news and notes. Main Event, Mr. Reckless, Mr. Duncan, myself. More after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran Main Event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaySimation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySimation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySimation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name. Now it will be known simply as Pro Wrestling Only. So it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more. Including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to the main event. Scott Criscolo, Jordan Duncan, and the Enigma, Johnny Reckless. Great first segment so far, guys. More to talk about in a moment. First, PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Letters from Kayfabe, Episode 17, Alan and Parv crash into 2017 with the 17th edition. The Mailbag, Yokozuna Body Slam Challenge, Lance Cassidy, Previous Women Wrestlers versus Divas Revolution, the Event Center with JR, No Holds Barred, the match, the movie, and other great topics. So check out the newest episode of Letters from Kayfabe. The most recent excellent WWE Network adventure. A bunch of us, of course, are writing. We're doing kind of a recap of everything on the network in chronological order. Today we dropped the May 2nd, 1985 episode of TNT, which I believe was the Jobber episode. So all the guests were like Rusty Brooks and Jose Luis Rivera, Steve Lombardi, Charlie Fulton, got all those other friggin' scrubs. But yeah, so
Iron Mike has to be on that one.
No, he's not actually. Iron Mike was his own guest on a TNT, and of course he lost his mind. but yeah, it was like Rusty Brooks, Charlie Fulton, Jose Luis Rivera, Mario Mancini. You know, the usual crop of guys. I mean, you know, D'Amato missed Gino Colabello and a little AJ Petruzzi from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. So, check it out. The newest edition of the WWE Excellent Network Adventure from Place to Be Nation, the May 2nd, 1985 Tuesday Night Titans. Glenn Butler has his Wednesday walk around the web. This Week in Wrestling, NWA On Demand. Pete and Johnny are here to talk about a hot week of releases. Tully Blanchard versus Scott Casey. From May 28th, 1982. That's probably the San Antonio promotion. And a bunch of other great matches. So check out the newest edition of This Week in Wrestling. More from the NWA On Demand. JR and I continue doing our Vintage Vault refresh. Up today, the April 18th, 1994 episode of Monday Night Raw. On a Monday, of course, so JR and I did the most recent episode of the Place B podcast. We recapped the very first, as we're doing our new reboot, the first Saturday night's main event from May 11th, 1985 from the Nassau Coliseum. And, of course, our special guest Ryan Everett was with us. He won it. He, of course, won that slot when he won the Halloween trivia contest. So, of course, JD, you didn't fucking cheat. No time.
I did, and I still finished in
9th. Geek and Sassy, Episode 8, Doctor Who, The Return of Dr. Mysterio. Most recent, Between the Sheets. Mr. Zellner and the Bix were guestless this week, but they looked back in time to January 4th through the 10th of 1999. Interesting week, right? No, of course, that was the week of the Mick Foley win. You guys are still doing Seinfeld? Jesus, what season are you on? 30? Jesus,
we are. Good Christ. Season 8 out of 9. Yeah.
Oh, my God. The comeback, season 8, episode 13. So
what a great episode.
Yes.
Man.
And then another episode of This Week in Wrestling. Pete and Tim were back to talk about wrestling in the U.S. and abroad. So they did some indie and international news as well. So very busy, those guys. I love Pete. You're going to hear Pete in the Place B podcast later on in the year. We won't tell you what or how, but he will be on. A little surprise there. We're not going to tell you when, though. Check out, of course, all of the great podcasts in our PTB catalog. You can go to Amazon through our site and just type placebnation.com/Amazon. Anything you buy on Amazon.com, we get a little kickback to help run the site. You can check out our e-publications. JR and I have got all of our stuff there. Federation era of pay-per-views, Raw for the first 3 years. The pay-per-views for the first 3 years, Raw from 1993, the Saturday's main events, a whole bunch of e-books. Just plenty of stuff to keep you occupied. So there you go. PlaceBNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Okay, now, the night before the Royal Rumble, of course, is another show. It is NXT TakeOver San Antonio. And so far, we actually have four matches. Of course, NXT was on tonight, so you'll probably... I hope I'm not spoiling anything, but I guess it's already in the archive. I'm going to watch it tomorrow. But four matches are slated. Of course, the main event, Shinsuke Nakamura will be defending his NXT championship against the glorious Bobby Roode. Asuka in a fatal four-way match against Nikki Cross, Billy Kay, and Peyton Royce. DIY will defend the NXT tag titles against the Authors of Pain, the Fat Road Warriors. And Ty Dillinger will take on Eric Young from Sanity. Of course, Nikki Cross is from Sanity as well. She's the little psycho, crazy midget girl that bites people's ankles. Seems like that's what she does. Guys, I tell you, these are strange. I'm a little perplexed by some of these. Let's talk about the women's match first. Johnny, what do you think of Asuka?
I think she's great. She's one of my favorites. What I think of the match is I think they're trying to take the title off of her without having her pinned.
So you think the belt changes hands in this card?
Yeah, I don't know to who, but yeah.
Well, we won't do full-blown previews. That actually, now that I'm thinking about it, our next episode of Main Event will be the Wednesday before, so we'll do full-blown previews on our next show. Yeah, I have to kind of agree with them, JD, because, I mean, I can't see Billy Kay or Peyton Royce doing anything to Asuka. And, I mean, again, Nikki Cross could probably, you know, give her rabies. But other than that, I can't. I mean, yeah.
Well, it's almost become a problem with Asuka because there's no one that can conceivably, like, put up a fight against her. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, so this is probably the only way they're going to be able to get out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do here. This is a little interesting. Because I can't see any of those three pinning Asuka, even as a fluke. I think it would. It would be terrible.
I think if she loses it, she's not. She's definitely not the one that's pinned. Like somebody pins someone else. You know, I mean, it's a fatal four way, so it's, you know, she doesn't have to be pinned to lose, right?
Yeah.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like any other four way.
Or if it was a fatal four way.
It doesn't say elimination on Wikipedia. It just says fatal four way.
If it's not elimination, then that's probably the exact reason why they're doing it that way.
Right.
Or they just want to have her kill everybody. You know, watch. Maybe it's elimination. She pins all three of them.
I can honestly see that. To be quite honest with you, I could see that. Ty Dillinger is a sacrificial lamb for Eric Young, because I think they're all going to... Now, they kicked that guy out. They kicked the one guy out of Sanity. The tall dude. They got rid of him. Remember that? I don't know if you saw the episode of NXT before Christmas where they, like, threw his jacket up the ramp or whatever. So, I don't know what the scoop is on that. But I think Eric Young... I think Ty Dillinger eats the pin there. As for the tag, I have a feeling this is going to end in a schmoz. DIY just spent the summer battling, arguably, the best tag team in this whole fucking company.
Yeah.
I can't see them just dropping it to Fat Hawk and Fat Animal.
Hog, not Hawk.
Hog. Hog! Yes! I just want to preface something. I have no... Look, no one, and Johnny knows this, and JD, you do too. No one is a bigger Paul Ellering fan than I am, and everybody knows that. Also, everyone knows that my favorite tag team in the history of this ball of mud called Earth is the Road Warriors. But the last time I hopped on an NXT tag team that reminded me of the Road Warriors, they became glorified fucking jobbers on SmackDown. So I'm not doing that. I'm not falling for it. Not falling for it. Are they a good team? Yeah. They're powerful. They're big guys. They looked good against that – I always forget their names. Something 61. The New Zealand team when they won the when they won the Dusty tournament in Toronto. They looked fine. I think that match ends in a schmoz. I don't see anybody getting pinned. I could see like Rezar, somebody, you know, I see that ending in a schmoz. I don't see DIY dropping the straps there. And what a cool chant. I think they've got the coolest chant right now. Half the building chants Johnny Wrestling. Although I thought that was you, John. And the other half chance Psycho Killer, because I guess Ciampa's a... And I also, JD, you want to hear about something funny, speaking of Tommaso Ciampa. Last year, in that episode of the main event where we made fun of the two, where we avoided talking about the Rumble 2 years ago, I didn't know who Ciampa was. Remember, I kept calling him Chumpy?
Chompy.
I kept Chompy, the fucking robot or whatever. Now I know who he is! I can call him by his actual name! And they call, obviously, because he's a big Talking Heads fan, so they call him Psycho Killer, and they call Johnny Gargano Johnny Wrestling. I have a feeling that ends in a schmoz. I can't see. But we'll get more into that in 2 weeks. And let me ask this about the main event. JD. Because you probably won't be on in 2 weeks, so you can give me your pick now.
Sure.
Does Nakamura retain the title? And if he doesn't, do we see him one night later?
I think that he does retain. Yeah, I don't think they're going to bring him up yet. I think they should, but I don't think they will. I think he's going to keep the title.
Okay. What do you think, John?
I think he does retain for the simple fact of something that there's a spoiler, but something hasn't aired yet that...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I definitely think he's going to retain.
I hope not. You guys.
Let me make another prediction. Mm-hmm. If they're smart, one guy in this card that will show up the next night is Ty Dillinger at number 10 in the Royal Rumble.
That would be very cool.
If they don't do that, that's kind of dumb, right?
Like, yeah, I know, yeah.
Easy. He doesn't have to have a run. He doesn't have to do anything important, but, you know... He should come out at number 10.
Yeah, I think so too. That'd be kind of cool. I'd love to see Bobby Roode win the NXT title, unless he's never meant to, and he is eventually going to be on the roster and for, you know, bigger and.
NXT's in a weird spot now. You know, I feel like, you know, maybe a year or 2 years ago, NXT was the hot product and the guys in it were kind of just part along for the ride, and now it's kind of like I feel like the guys in it are bigger than NXT now. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Nakamura is bigger than NXT. Even Bobby Roode, I think, is bigger than NXT. A lot of these guys, it's tough. You know, even Asuka. I mean, how much longer do they keep her down there for?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess that's kind of what it needs to be. If it is their development, then they should have the hope that their guys get too big for it. I mean, I guess that's probably the problem they want to have. Rather than, you know, the problem they did have, whereas the developmental company was the biggest act in town. So
right. Do you think Bobby Roode will ever win the belt, John, or do you think he's there just to kind of get his feet wet again before going to where he probably belongs, which is on one of the two shows?
No, I think he will. I don't think his reign will be all that long, but he'll have a brief run with it.
Okay. I mean, he could win it on the main show. And then maybe lose it at maybe TakeOver Orlando. Just because, I mean, I feel like we don't think outside the... I think a lot of us as fans forget to think outside the box of stuff. Like, you know, why does every belt have to change hands at a TakeOver? Why can't there just be a taping? Or, you know, why can't we just have that? You know what I'm saying?
Well, don't forget, it changed hand at a house show. So
exactly.
NXT does do things like
that. And there was a long stretch between the Rumble and Orlando. So, I mean, I honestly would love to see
Bobby Roode.
I'm sorry, I got distracted for one reason. JR just said, Adam Schefter just tweeted, Chargers plan to announce as early as Thursday that they are moving to L.A., ending 55-year stint with the city of San Diego. I mean, they were the Los Angeles Chargers first anyway, but, I mean, does San Diego really not want to replace the Murph? I mean, that building, I mean, it is kind of an older building, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. And I guess they'll get L.A. to them, well, not L.A. to themselves, but the Raiders are probably going to move to Vegas, which I think is a big mistake, but this isn't Sports Evolution. I don't know. I'm torn on this. I think Bobby Roode will win the title in San Antonio, mostly because I want him to. But there is a lot of time between TakeOver San Antonio and TakeOver Orlando. So, you know, anything can happen. I just love Bobby Roode so much.
What's funny about both of those guys, why we talk like, oh, do they move up? Because, you know, it's WrestleMania season. Both of those guys are prime candidates for epic WrestleMania entrances with their music.
Hell yeah.
You know, I mean, we've talked about that, you know.
Oh, my God. I thought Toronto with the choir was fucking incredible. So amazing. Yeah, well, I'll get more into my picks in 2 weeks when we do the preview.
Sure.
But at the moment, I think Bobby Roode wins it. But we'll see. And you know, we talk about, and it's funny you bring this up, JD, and I'll ask you, John. You know, that we talk about NXT as a minor league. Not a minor league. Let me rephrase that. That's a terrible term. As AAA. Well, I guess it is minor league. But as a development. But they treat it as a territory. Because NXT, when we first started really watching it in 2014, it was Bo Dallas, Neville, all these young guys. Now, half the roster's in their 30s.
Yeah.
I mean, Nakamura's 38. Bobby's, what, 30, probably 35. Even Ty Dillinger's like 35. So, you know, none of the main event guys are spring chickens, and there's one guy we haven't talked about yet, and that is Samoa Joe. Yep. We could see him Sunday, or we could see him that Sunday in San Antonio. Another guy who's close to 40. Who's the youngest guy on the roster? Elias Sampson? No.
Bobby Roode, 40 years old.
Yeah, see what I mean? No, he looks. I mean, he looks awesome.
Yeah.
He doesn't look 40. But, yeah, Nakamura, I think, is 38 or 39. I don't know, where do you think the identity, John, of NXT is right now as we begin 2017. Is NXT in a good place?
Right now, yes. But once these guys start coming up, I don't know. You know, that's why I don't think you're going to see them all come up at the same time.
Right.
You know, they're in a good place. What they are, I mean, yeah, they are a developmental brand, but it's almost like they're taking veterans and just saying, all right, you made it here. We're going to teach you our style, and then you're going to go to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really, you know, these young indie darlings. It's more, they got a lot of veterans right now.
The roster, like the demographic of the roster seems to have changed in the last, like, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And,
I think part of the issue, too, with them is that, you know, when you talk about when we started watching, it was Bo Dallas, it was Neville, guys like that, right? But it was also always out of Full Sail, and now they're a touring brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might be a little gun-shy about moving some people up, because if they move all these guys up, then they still got to sell tickets for their shows that they're touring on.
Right.
You know, so they've got to have some names to put on the posters, you know? They got to have some names to sell. You know, I'm sure the NXT name by itself is enough to sell some tickets, but you know, it's not the name WWE. It's not Raw. It's not SmackDown. It doesn't have that name recognition amongst us. It does, but not amongst, you know, the casual fans who
right.
May not watch wrestling that much.
Right. That, yeah, I think that's interesting as well. So we'll have to monitor the roster as we look through these next couple of months leading towards WrestleMania and NXT TakeOver Orlando. Because I think you're going to see a fifth take. Because remember, TakeOver was a lot more frequent early on. Now it seems like they're sticking strictly to the big four weekends. But I can't see them doing it, not doing a TakeOver between WrestleMania and SummerSlam. That's a long time to not have a big show. Now, NXT...
Well, there is supposed to be one in England, isn't there? And I don't know when that...
Probably. Falls. And don't forget, they have those big tours they take. And the last two NXT episodes of the calendar year, they did the full show in Osaka, where Nakamura beat Joe back. And then the full show in New Zealand, or Melbourne.
Yeah, Melbourne, Australia.
When Nakamura finished the feud off in the cage. Both those cards were fantastic, by the way. I highly recommend them. They're the last two calendar episodes of 2016. They're, of course, on the network. All right, let's talk about the Cruiserweight division for a minute. I've watched the last 2 weeks of 205 Live. I've enjoyed it. I like Rich Swann. What do you think of Rich Swann, JD? As champion?
I think he's fun. I think that's what he's supposed to be, is fun. And yep. I think he is fun.
Yep, I agree. Do you like Swann, Johnny?
I do. I honestly think he shows the most personality in that division, other than Gallagher. But
different type of personality for sure.
I just love all the cool terms. It was not a contract signing; it was a parlay. And oh, it was tremendous! You are a scoundrel, and you have besmirched my honor. God, he's awesome. And of course, his theme music is the Bad News Bears, so that's even better. All right. I thought that having it on Saturday on Tuesdays after SmackDown was a bad idea. It's not atrocious right now. The crowd is kind of hot for him, and they are adding some personalities. They are adding some personalities to Raw to kind of help boost the storylines. On the main show. So I think it's working out so far, and now there's actually going to be a title match at the Royal Rumble. Do I think Neville wins? Probably, right? What do you think, John? Does Neville win?
Yeah. I think Neville is being built as the centerpiece heel of that division. Obviously, that's what they're doing right now, and I definitely think they'll put the title on him.
What do you think, JD?
Yeah, I mean, it makes the most sense that he would win. I feel like it might be a little early for Swann to lose the belt, but, you know, it's not like he's setting the world on fire as the champion. I don't think it's going to kill him to lose to Neville.
No, I don't think so either. And I think Neville will be set up for a long run through the WrestleMania season, and then I think you'll see him wrestle somebody in a crazy match, maybe Tajiri at WrestleMania. I think that would be pretty cool. Yeah,
Do you think they might put them like in a big, like, almost like a, not, I wouldn't say it would be a ladder match, but actually maybe it is. I mean, think of last year, the IC title was a ladder match with multiple guys. You think that might be what they do with the Cruiserweights, is like an 8-guy ladder match? That would be nuts.
Would you take the ladder match away from the IC belt then? Because I don't think I could see two ladder matches at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm saying they would. They would replace it.
Although, if WrestleMania is as long as last year's was, if they do the one ladder match first, by the time they do the second one, you may forget that the first one even happened. So, you know.
It's not even necessarily a ladder match, but, you know, I kind of think at Mania what we would see with the Cruiserweights is something where they're all in there at once.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
You know,
everybody gets a piece of the pie, so. Mm-hmm. Who else in the division do you like, Johnny?
I mean, I've always been a Kendrick fan. I just, you know, I mean, the standout for me is all. It just keeps going back to Gallagher, man. The guy is just awesome.
He really is. He really is. And I'm looking forward to Okada. Not Okada. What's his name?
What are you talking about?
No, sorry, wrong guy. what's his name? Tazawa.
Akira Tazawa.
Tazawa. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to mention him. He hasn't even been on yet, but from the Cruiserweight Classic and from seeing him, you know, prior to that, he's really, really good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got the wrong Imagine if it was Okada. Oh, my God. What am I starting?
Now, hey, can I tell you who I don't like? TJ Perkins. Screw that guy. He sucks.
Nobody likes TJ Perkins. They think the
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah, they think the entrance is the only cool thing, you know?
It is cool.
That's about the extent of it, though. Yeah, I was not a big fan of his. I was glad that he lost. And I love I wish speaking of Brian Kendrick, where's Big Zeke? You should bring back Zeke. Or he do something wrong. I don't know. Did he do something wrong in the indies? Or did he do something wrong with the company? I don't know. I think he pissed somebody off. Didn't he get a
fight think
backstage?
So.
No? Okay. All right. Two names, of course. Let's talk about them. Two names that are floating around outside of WWE. And we're talking about rumors of guys that could be on their way. One of them is a guy who just wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom, and he might be the hottest indie guy in the world, and that's, of course, Kenny Omega. And the other guy is one half of probably one of the best tag teams in Ring of Honor over the last, like, 3 years. One half of the former Red Dragon, that is Kyle O'Reilly. He apparently has been pulled from the Ring of Honor shows and is no longer on the website.
Yeah.
I could easily see Kyle O'Reilly in NXT. What about Kenny Omega, though? Let's talk about him for a minute. He likes to talk a big game on Twitter and all that, but let's be honest. And this is, again, another reason why I can't stand some of these indie guys. Talking a big game on Twitter, you know, breaking WWE's balls and all this, and you're the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Triple H walks up to you and says, hey, you want to go? What's he going to say? No, he's not that stupid. But we don't know if that's actually happened yet. And he may ask for a lot of money. He's a pretty hot guy. Do we see Kenny Omega in this company between now and the end of June? We'll say the first 6 months of the calendar year. Between now and July 1st, JD, is Kenny Omega in WWE?
I don't think so.
No. John?
I don't think so.
I think we do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think John's thinking like I'm thinking. What's he going to do? Triple H just walked up to me and gave me like $1 zillion. Well, you know, I'm going back to the armory. No, you're not. No, you're not.
You know, I look at it this way. I mean, he's, you know, he's one of those New Japan Bullet Club guys. Obviously, he sees the success of AJ. The club, not so much. But he... That has to factor in. You know, he might figure, okay, they probably will use me correctly.
Yeah, I think they will. And I think Kyle O'Reilly is a stud, and I think he'll be good in NXT. We'll see. I mean, even if he's coming or not, we're just saying that he's not on the Ring of Honor roster anymore. So, some news and notes. Let's see. The preview show for the United Kingdom title tournament was on the network last night, right after Raw. I think it was, or 2 nights ago. I think it was like, no, it was last night. Was it last night or Monday night? It was on after Raw. It was like 18 minutes. They talk about the 16 guys. Of course, it's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 3 o'clock Eastern time, which I think is 8 o'clock, Sorry, I just want to make sure we're still recording. 8 o'clock. All right, good. technical. I want to make sure technically things are going right here. 3 o'clock Eastern time, Saturday and Sunday. So local time, that's what, 8 o'clock, I guess, or 9. I don't know how they're splitting it. I'm assuming, because it comes out to 15 matches, so I'm assuming the entire first round will be on Saturday, and then every other match, I guess the quarters, semis, and the final will be on Sunday, I'm thinking. I don't know a single guy. I've never heard of any of them. Let's take a look at the names.
Yeah, I've got the bracket up too.
So let's take a look at the. Hold on, let's take a look at the names. United Kingdom Championship Tournament. Here we go. All right, so
I'll give you what I think their gimmick is based off their names.
All right, go ahead. All right, so we have Tyler Bate. Tyler Bate.
Yep, he's English royal, Master Tyler Bate. All right, check that one out.
Oh, so let me guess. His manager's name is Puppet, and he carries a garbage can.
That's right.
Oh God! And his bodyguard is Cheeks. All right. All right, Tucker.
Yeah, this one's tough for me to guess what his gimmick's going to be. So I'll throw this one to Johnny.
Who's Tucker?
I think he's a underground like carnival brawler.
All right, cool.
Oh, so he looks like Simon Gotch.
Yeah.
In my mind, they all look like Simon Gotch.
So we have Jordan Devon. I think he's Irish.
Yeah, that's he just cosplays as me. So.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Danny Burch. Do you think it's a Paul Burchill changing his name?
He's a pirate.
He's gonna come in as a pirate. Trent Seven. I actually like that name. I don't even know
that. This is actually one guy that I have heard of. So
yes, we all know.
But
isn't he on Twitter?
Seven was in WCW. So
yes,
that's who he is.
Oh God, we'll talk about that guy with Johnny after the show. then there's HC Dyer.
Yeah,
like Duffy. He used to play for the Mets.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I don't
I'm
either.
Trying to think of something HC could stand for.
Hardcore Dyer, maybe? This match is awesome because I know both guys. You have Tyson T-Bone, which I think is Tyson Kidd in a mask, because he doesn't want to admit that he's married to that horrific skank, Natalia. I think he'd rather marry the cats. And Eddie Van Halen's son, Wolfgang, is the other wrestler. So,
see, I thought it was Wolfgang Puck, and he's facing the T-Bone, so he's just going to cook.
He's going to wrestle a piece. He's going to wrestle as me. I thought that was the other guy. Oh God, why isn't Steve Willie here? All right, we have Mark Andrews. He's generic man. What is he like, the Iron Mike Sharp of this tournament?
And he's got a different flag. I believe that is the flag of Wales.
Oh, so he's Welsh. So he sounds like all the people on
spits.
You know what he sounds like, Johnny? He sounds like all the people on Torchwood. for anybody,
that's his name, Torchwood Mark Andrews.
For those that don't know, Torchwood was the spinoff show of Doctor Who, and they were from Cardiff, so they were all Welsh. Against Dan Maloney, I think he's from Lancaster or Lancashire. Or something like that. Something with Lank in it. James Drake.
British James Storm, we'll call him.
Yes. Yes. It's not called Rednecks and Beer Bottles. It's called, like, Ales and Scoundrels or something.
Yeah.
Joseph Connors is another guy. These guys are all English coming up here. Pete Dunne.
That's another one that I've actually heard of.
Is that, like, well done?
Chad Campbell's mentioned him.
Is that, like, well done? Timothy Wells died recently. Might have been today. So there'll be no more well done, because Stephen Dunn was already dead. So no more well done. That only leaves one.
That's the Wolfgang and T-Bone.
Yes. That only leaves one of Matt Rotella's favorite tag teams of all time still alive, and that's Techno Team 2000.
Oh my God.
Roy Johnson. Didn't he get
The Rock's dad?
Yeah, didn't he get expelled from the Olympics for cheating? Oh, that was right, Roy Johnson,
Ben Johnson.
Oh, that was Ben Johnson. Oh, sorry. Okay. This is great. Now this I think is Ben Morse's alter ego when he does Marvel stuff overseas. Saxon Huxley.
Yeah, that's great.
Saxon Huxley, otherwise known as Ben Morse. And finally.
Let me say one thing about Saxon Huxley, because his name's the coolest one. I Googled him and I found his Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter at MuscleCatJesus.
So I thought that was your Twitter. Oh no, well, your Twitter is your Twitter is not Chad Campbell. Sorry, I forgot about that.
And his Twitter like avatar, it's like a cartoon drawing of him, and he's holding a decapitated head of someone and like a decapitated Godzilla head. So he's my pick to win.
I like that. And then finally, he's taking on Sam Gradwell. So there's your eight matchups. All right. So according to this, according to Wikipedia, the whole tournament is Saturday, and just the final is Sunday.
Hmm.
They're gonna fit all. They're gonna fit 14 matches in 2 hours. WrestleMania 4 fit 14 matches in fucking 5 hours or whatever the hell it was. How the hell are they going to do that? That's according to Wikipedia. The first round, the quarters, and the semis are all Saturday, and the final is Sunday. So maybe Sunday it's only like an hour show then. Maybe we're just guessing that it's supposed to be 2 hours on Saturday.
Ten-minute time limits maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe it's just and maybe it's just like a quick hour show. Maybe they'll do some like prelim matches on Sunday. Maybe these guys, some of these other guys that lost will wrestle again maybe. That's entirely possible. I wonder if they'll have somebody like Finn Balor present them with the belt or something like that. Or Regal. I'm sure Regal will. By the way, I think probably the best thing to come out of this tournament is our newest commentator.
Yeah, Nigel.
Nigel McGuinness. What do you think of that, Johnny?
I love it. You know, it's a shame what happened with his career, and just happy he kind of found a place with the WWE right now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I'm glad he's where he is right now as well. Maybe they could have a fifth guy on SmackDown and somebody could kick Tom Phillips in the face. fucking can't stand that guy. I swear to God.
Remember Nigel McGuinness used to carry an iron to the ring? He could just hit him in the head with that iron.
I'd love to hit him in the head with the fucking iron. Absolutely. Why can't Mauro just turn around and fucking boot him in the mouth? Absolutely fucking hate that guy. You could just tell
WrestleMania match.
You could just tell just by looking at him he's a fucking little worm. Absolutely hate his guts. No need for him to be on SmackDown. No need at all. There was no need to have a fourth guy. I think he's a fucking worm, to be honest with you. I've heard things
guys,
about that.
But
I've heard things about Tom Phillips that he's a little you know, he's kind of a little political maneuveri backstage.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, he's a fucking worm. Maybe he's like Steffi, John. Maybe we had him wear women's clothes. Anyway, that's it. For once, I had to give Johnny an inside joke. I felt like I was giving them all to you, JD. I'll tell you that one after the show. So that's this weekend. That's the big one. That is the next big event here on the WWE Network. I wish this was on the WWE Network. So the big UK tournament will be this weekend in Blackpool, and we will have a United Kingdom champion. I kind of dig the belt. It's kind of cool. And then after that, in 2 weeks, we'll have TakeOver San Antonio and then the Royal Rumble. The other big announcement that took place this week, and it dispelled a lot of rumors because there were a lot of rumors about where WrestleMania 34 was going to be. Of course, it has been announced that it is going back to the French Quarter, the site... JD, of I guess you could say your favorite WrestleMania moment of the last decade took place in that building.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So we're back at the Silver Dome in New Orleans. I'm sure he won't be opening it. So anyway, a little tidbit here. WWE officials just decided a few weeks back on New Orleans being the host of the city for WrestleMania 34 in 2018. Dave Meltzer noted on the War Wrestling Observer Radio that 15 cities were in the running, including Philadelphia and perhaps St. Louis. New Orleans city officials really wanted WrestleMania back in their city as they prepare to celebrate their tricentennial. City officials reportedly pitched to WWE that WrestleMania would be featured as part of their tricentennial celebration, and that was enough to sell WWE officials on the idea. The other cities were being considered, but none could offer what NOLA was offering with their tricentennial celebration. Issues with New Orleans, JD?
No.
No? Johnny?
Not at all.
No. The Superdome was a great place for the show. I know a lot of PTB guys were there. Let me see. Who went that? Let me think. Chad went.
Andrew Reich was there.
Reich was there. Chad,
Ben. Morse was there.
Yep, Ben was there. I think Graham was there, although he may not even remember being there.
Greg Phillips.
Greg Phillips is there. Nick Duke could have been there. In fact, you could have told him he was there, and he may not even know.
Yeah.
Let me think. I think that there are probably a few other guys. I may have to venture. I had said that I would have gone if it was Philly or Minnesota. That was the other big. I mean, they said 15 cities.
Yeah,
I know Philly was Philly was definitely thought of. I mean, we got
to
say
this year's was rumored to be Minnesota this time last year.
Yes, yep, and they decided to go back to Orlando. Now, I was a little skittish, or not skittish, but because it's not my problem, I'm not the company. I remember I was a little perplexed because if you remember WrestleMania 24, which is where the last time it was in Orlando was, the card was not terrible. I mean, I had my crying moment, of course, the end of a tremendous career, one of my favorite guys ever in Ric Flair. But we had the bad pyrotechnics problem. It rained. Remember it rained? What was it, during the Money in the Bank? Right?
I don't remember.
I think it was during the Money in the Bank match. I think it rained. Then, of course, you had the pyrotechnics problem. Taker almost died, and then that woman got scorched in the upper deck or whatever the fuck it was. So I didn't think they were ever going to go back there. Because anytime something like that happens, they usually avoid places like the plague. So I never thought they'd go back to Orlando, so I was surprised. Philly would be tremendous because it's an easy trip for me. I don't have to pay airfare. And there's a lot of great places in Philly. I said I would go to Minnesota because that's a city I always wanted to go to, Minneapolis. Now, I know Philly is probably, in terms of weather, would probably be a crapshoot. We were very lucky in 2013 when we were at WrestleMania 29 and at MetLife because it was a beautiful day that day. And it could have been freezing, and it wasn't. It was actually, it got a little chilly by, like, Taker Punk. It got a little cold. In the last couple of, I'm sorry, is there an update with Sean Mooney coming in?
Mm-hmm.
I heard, dit. Sean Mooney coming in with Craig DeGeorge. I remember the weather being very 50-50. So maybe that's why they're still a little nervous about Philly. But in any event, let me ask you guys a question. Do you think we will ever get an outdoor SummerSlam? Johnny, I'll ask you first. Do you think we'll ever get a SummerSlam at, say, Yankee Stadium or MetLife or Fenway or Wrigley? What do you think?
Well, if you're going to do it anywhere, you're going to do it Yankee Stadium. No other stadium around here counts. But no, I'm joking.
Wow. No wonder you're a unicorn in the Place to Be Nation world. You come in and you vanish. You are like fucking Brock. Make everybody hate you, and then you leave for 8 months.
No, I'm totally joking. But I think you could do it. But I think they're really liking this this Brooklyn setup. So I could almost see that becoming the permanent home.
Well, this is the last year of the 3-year deal. That was definite. They did a 3-year deal. I've been to the first two, and they were both fucking incredible there. I'm up in the air if I'm going this year or not. But the first two were tremendous in that building. I think they like Brooklyn too, and I think they like having an NXT takeover there too. So I'm curious. I'll be curious to see what happens in 2018 with SummerSlam. But what do you think, JD? Do you think you could see SummerSlam in an outdoor venue? I mean, for all intents and purposes, the Rumble is in a WrestleMania size building.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to think is you know, what cities kind of have stadiums that are that big. I mean, I guess anyone with a baseball stadium could really host it, you know? I mean, and it's August. You don't have to worry about – I guess you have to worry about heat more than anything else. So, I mean, I don't think it's out of the question. For them, I think if there's a number that they could tout or a visual that they could promote, then, yeah, they absolutely would do it. I think they're all about that kind of stuff. Like, if they could be the first in some sort of stadium, if it's outdoors or not, or if they could set some sort of record for an outdoor stadium, which maybe they could do the big house here in Michigan in Ann Arbor, you know, the football stadium. I don't know if they could sell that many for a SummerSlam, but, you know, I think if they thought they could do it, they would try it.
Hmm. That might be something they're going to think about for the future. Yeah. The rest of the big shows are already set. SummerSlam is in Brooklyn. And Survivor Series, I think, is already set for the Toyota Center in Houston in November. So I think those are already booked. Guys, this was tremendous. Great job. Fun show. JD, it's always a pleasure to be with you. We've Thanks. Done back-to-back shows now.
Six stars, bitch.
JD, we'll be posting the newest episode of Rank and File, which we did last week, you, me, and D'Amato. Have we announced what the top 10? Are we hiding it? Do we keep it a secret?
No, you can tell us.
Okay,
sure.
It's going to be the top, our top. It was me, JD, and Mr. D'Amato, and we did our top 10 all-time favorite entrance themes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everyone knows what mine is. But check it out. We JD and I were on some type of strange symmetry.
Yeah, it was like a Freaky Friday.
It was like a Freaky Friday, exactly. Johnny, what are your... You don't have to give me 10. Give me, like, your five favorite entrance themes of all time.
Five favorite. Let's see. Taker, obviously.
Any of them? Or a specific one? Because I will say one of the ones I mentioned, I won't say where I had it or if I, you know, was his, the Attitude Era one, like, 99 with the guitar, the dum-ba-da-dum-ba-da. I love that.
That one was great. But, I mean, they're all great, but that one was especially, that one was really good.
Yep.
The original DX theme.
See, JD? I'm going to hear freaking D'Amato's bullshit. Okay. I agree.
Give you a couple more. Let me think. For me, it always worked. I love Mr. Perfect's theme.
Well, that's a good one.
I don't think we talked about Perfect, did we? I don't remember.
No, we didn't. That was a really good one.
And, I mean, are we talking WWE exclusive here?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
You have to do Sandman, ECW.
You sure do, yeah.
Yes, you do. Yep.
And, even Tommy Dreamer's theme in ECW was pretty damn good.
And speaking of great themes, we were talking about, you know, we didn't mention the first two guys have been announced. Oh, let's mention that real quick before we go. The first two entrants or two names to be inducted into
the Hall of Fame.
2017 WWE Hall of Fame. The first one, not a surprise, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page. He was talked about last year as coming in this year's class. But the number two guy is going to make Johnny very, very happy. Yes, indeed, baby.
Finally.
A fucking man right there. Yes.
Long overdue.
Way long overdue. Yes. Former Intercontinental Champion, former world-class champion. Yeah. Ravishing Rick Rude, finally getting his due. Ugh.
Who would you think inducts him? I mean, I don't know that he has...
You know, in a strange way... you may laugh at this. If he was still alive, Warrior.
Oh, I can see that.
That would have been my number one choice.
Maybe Steamboat?
Steamboat.
Steamboat.
Sting.
Sting.
Sting could, yep.
Pauly.
Flair.
Oh, Pauly could be a good one, too.
Flair,
yeah.
You think? Maybe. I don't know if they ever had
They have some history together.
Yeah.
I think Pauly. It's probably Paulie.
I think it's Paulie, too. By the way, speaking of, was there ever a guy, name me one guy that had multiple distinct entrance themes throughout his whole career and none of them sucked?
Yeah.
Think about it. Because remember I was talking about themes the other day? We mentioned this guy, JD, on the show, and then I couldn't find the right clip to play, but this is the one I was talking about. Let me cue it up. Hold on. Let me cue it up. Here we go. Simply ravishing. His WCW theme was awesome.
And you don't say that about too many people.
No, I know you really don't. Come on, Johnny. Right? I mean, was there ever a guy who had who did not have a terrible entrance theme? And that includes Sade. You know?
Yeah. No. That's very true.
Favorite Rude match? JD.
I mean, can I count the War Games with the Dangerous Alliance as a... I mean, he was in it.
No. But that match is... Because we all love that. That match is fucking awesome.
Okay. I immediately go to the Iron Man then with,
Steamer?
Ricky, right?
Yeah. Yep. Well, he had two.
Yeah.
He had two that year. One with Ricky and one
With Dustin.
And they were both...
Yeah.
The one with Dustin was good. The one with Ricky was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd say that.
Okay. Johnny, I know you've got like 80.
I do, but I mean, obviously, above all, it is the Iron Man with Ricky. Personal favorite of mine, after watching it now, you know, as a kid, not so much, but I like when he beat Warrior. You know, watching
that's
it
cool
now.
Inch. Yeah.
It, you know, as a kid, I was like,
furious.
Exactly.
Well, my favorite, it's funny you say that, because my favorite Rude match of all time was the rematch at SummerSlam. Their match at SummerSlam 89 is one of my favorite matches of all time. That's one of my favorite shows of all time, but the rematch at SummerSlam 89 is one of my favorite matches ever. I think Gorilla and Tony, when Gorilla said, "You could shoot someone outside the ring and not get DQ'd, you're as dumb as Monsoon!" I love when Jesse made fucking Schiavone cry. Johnny, you took pleasure in seeing Tony Schiavone cry and wither, so...
Oh, I always take pleasure in Tony
Schiavone. God, so awesome to, and now we need a comp. Now they got to make one, or at least do a playlist on the network. We need a playlist of Rude stuff, because I don't think there's nearly enough. What was there? What was his in Manny Fernandez's? What were they called? In Crockett, what was their tag team? Do you remember, John?
I don't. I always knew him as Rude and Fernandez. Did they actually have a name?
Yeah, I think Paul Jones gave them a name. Shit. You know, let me look for a minute.
It was something in rap.
I can't. The show.
Something, right?
The show. Yeah, the show can't end before we have to talk about it. We have to say this because I can't let this linger. That was one of the saddest days for me. April 20th, 1999. Probably one of the saddest days for me when he died. That was one, and then of course we saw what happened a month later at Over the Edge, but it kind of trumped it. But let me see.
Well, the Rude was always sad for me because it just felt a career unfinished. Like I still think he had a little more to do.
Yeah,
they were called the Awesome Twosome. That's what it was. The Awesome Twosome. That's what Paul Jones called them. The Awesome Twosome. They won the World Tag Titles a couple times. And then Rude left in April to go to the WWF. So, so happy to see him. Yeah, I think Paul inducts him. I mean, think about it. He was the face of the Dangerous Alliance, really.
Yeah,
Paul. But I think if he was alive, I think it would have been Warrior.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, if he was alive, I think Warrior would have been the one to induct him. But since he's not, sadly. I think
I always think of him with Kurt Hennig too. Like they were I think they were like best friends outside the ring.
Well, they're both from Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think they both went to the same high school, I think actually. I think the two of them and Greg Gagne, I think they all went to the same high school. I think. I might be wrong, but I thought they did.
Well, you had that whole group of them out of Minnesota. I think they all knew each other.
Yeah. Two guys that should both still be here. Rude and Perfect. Fucking sucks. Fucking sucks. Gentlemen, as I mentioned, it has been a pleasure. JD, always good to have you on again. Check the newest episode of Rank and File will be dumping soon. Johnny, don't be a stranger, man. It was good to have you back tonight.
It's great to be back.
I believe I'm going to book you. You are going to be I'm not giving you the night off. I will you are going to be on the WrestleMania preview. You're already on. You're booked now. Looking ahead.
Sounds good.
All right, you will be on the WrestleMania preview special. JD, I'll probably have you on. I want to mega load that show, so maybe I'll have the whole core four and you guys. So, all right, so that'll do it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks, which will be right before. So we'll do a full blown preview of TakeOver San Antonio, and of course, we'll preview the Royal Rumble. We'll see who this United Kingdom champion is, and go from there. So for Johnny Reckless. For Jordan Duncan, I am Scott Griscola. You've been in the main event. You simply ravishing. And if you want to be in this UK tournament, you're going to have to own Masturbate and Tackle. Have a good 2 weeks.
That's my next top 10 show.
Starring Andrew Riesch.